following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came a new smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. How you doing today? How are you? Good to be with you, man. You're looking good. Did you do your hair differently? Are you parting it on the side now? You look so good. Did your eyes turn colors? One of them did, but still you look good. Great. Only thing you need to do, I don't want to be judgmental. All you need to do is, there's hair growing out of your ear. Did you know? Yes. It's growing out of your ear. What the hell's with that? Did you ever have that before? No, hair is not supposed to grow out of your ear. But it is. The other thing is, man, and I'm really sorry about this, your nose. There's hair growing out of your nose. Yeah. You may be bald, but your nose is doing very well. What do you sniff Rogaine? What's up with that? You got to take care of yourself, man. You got to look in the mirror every once in a while. Please. Other than that, you're looking really good. You really are. You look tired. You look beat. You look exhausted. You look stressed. But other than that, you're looking really good. I mean, compared to a slug on the 120-degree sidewalk, you're looking relatively good. The other thing is, and I hate to bring this up, wearing sweatpants all day, not attractive. You may be comfortable, but it's not attractive. Did you ever meet a woman, a lovely woman with beautifully flowing hair, cascading over their shoulders and hugging their breasts, something, you know, very sexy, and then all of a sudden they cut their hair like a 10-year-old boy's haircut, and you say to them, oh, you changed your hairstyle, and she says, yes, do you like it? And you go, oh yeah, why did you cut your beautiful, lovely, long, sexy, adoring, come get me kind of haircut? Hair flowing beautifully upon your, what? Why did you do that? And her response is always, oh, it's so much easier than this. I just get up in the morning and I don't have to do a thing. It's just so easy. Okay, just so easy. You look like a man. See, guys look horrible all the time, so there's no bar to reach. It's kind of like the Trump presidency. If you suck all the time, as soon as you do something that's not as sucky, you look like a genius. But it's not the case. The bar has been set so low that anything you do has got to be incredible. It's the same with a guy for the most part. They never brush or comb their hair. They don't dress for any reason. They don't even get dressed. They throw something on. I'll be right there. I just got to throw something on. Well, don't bother showing up if you're just going to throw something on. That's insulting to me. A woman, on the other hand, before she goes out, there is a process. Got to go pick something that looks perfect for the occasion. It's got to be well ironed. The hair must be perfect. The makeup must be applied to hide all those hideous cracks in the face and stuff like that. You know, a woman, it's like, no, I don't go out in public unless I am ready. A guy, let me just throw something on. See, this COVID thing, unfortunately, has set us back fashion-wise, where you don't really have to get dressed. I could be doing this show right now with no pants on. You don't know. Well, this is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for joining me and being joined. We are conjoined at the hip. I do this every single weekday. What the hell's wrong with me? This isn't the only podcast in the world, but it certainly is the most distinguishable, I do imagine. So follow me. Hey, actually, don't follow me. That sounds wrong. Never mind about that part. I have a very interesting guest coming up later on in the program. I do hope you're doing well. I really, really do. I'm going to be serious for just a second. It's supposed to be a comedy show. Just for a second. I swear it won't take long. I just want to say something. The number of these virus cases are growing throughout the country, state by state. It means a lot, but it doesn't mean as much as the hospitalizations are growing wildly. We are reaching the levels of the highest ever since this thing began almost a year ago now. At least three quarters of a year ago. And it's getting worse than ever before. And it's not just this country, it's the world. But you figure in this country, we should be able to do things a little bit better. But we're doing things a little bit worse. People are still walking around without masks on in public areas, not distancing, and it's still happening. Here's the ironic thing, you stupid morons. Listen to me. Do you want schools to reopen completely? Do you want to be able to shop in stores again without restrictions? Do you want to get back into outdoor celebrations and activities? Do you want things to be fairly normal again with little or no restriction? There's one thing that stands between that reality and where we are now, and that's wearing a stupid piece of cloth on your mouth. That's all. It's all you have to do. It's so freaking simple. If everybody wore a mask when they were in public, outside or inside, you'd be fine. In the confines of your own house with your own dwelling partners, you don't need to wear masks. But if someone comes into your home, you all need to wear a mask for that period of time. When you're outside, whether you're 6 feet apart or not, wear a mask, a piece of cloth. There's so many varieties of them, and it works. That's all it takes for life to get back to real close to normal until the vaccine comes out, and then we start going back to normal for real without the cloth on the face. It's just the cloth on the face that makes the difference between hell and really close normality. So those of you that are walking around without a mask in those situations or huddling in large groups, you don't understand how simple this could be for this country. We're not a communistic state. No one can order you to wear a mask under these circumstances. But your morality and your respect should be all you need to do this. Saving lives, of course, but people going through horrendous sick periods in hospitals and otherwise, that's awful. That's awful. You don't want that at any age. Anytime I see a person not wearing a mask out in public or huddling in large groups, I do get mad. I find them disrespectful to me and disrespectful to others. They just walk around saying, well, I don't like to wear cloth on my face and I'm not going to get sick, so screw everybody else. Get off my planet if that's your attitude. Do you want to go back to work completely? Do you want schools to open completely? Do you want stores to open completely, restaurants, bars, a high percentage of movie theaters? I mean, things like really close to normal. All you got to do, everybody puts a piece of cloth on their face under those circumstances. That's all. That's all. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is the antithesis of that. He's been holding rallies since he became. Hey, Bub, you're the president. You don't need a rally. This is. You're not Hitler standing there rallying your supporter. Rally is not necessary. What is this rally crap? Campaigning, okay. Rallies, what? A rally by a president? No. We need to get smart, and we need to get smart really, really fast. Okay, that's it. I'm sorry. That wasn't a comedy. That wasn't funny. Hey, Ron, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be comedy? Yeah, I know. I get it. All right. I wish I could go out to eat because I'd definitely go to this restaurant immediately.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But I hung up my boxing gloves to bring you...
It's headshots, Bobby.
Headshots? The hell is that?
It's your restaurant, Bobby? Your Italian restaurant?
No, that's not right.
Trust me, okay?
I think it's Carpots. I'm in Carpots. Because I know Carpots.
Can you maybe just read the weekly specials and then we're done?
You need your breaks done?
Read the specials, Bobby.
Chicken piazzole. The hell is that?
Pretty sure it's chicken with tomato sauce and peppers and pasta.
$14 for that? Jesus, what a ripoff. Maybe I should be offering a special on replacing alternators.
That's not what you do.
This week only, we'll check your transmission and change your oil.
Maybe get back to the specials.
Now that's worth $14. Mention
nice.
My name, Bobby Marone, and I'll rotate your tires.
Thursday night is ravioli night. How about you read that one for me, Bobby?
Check engine light coming on.
Bobby?
My guys will just rip out the wires. You don't need
guys,
that.
Guys, he's not coming
Got
back.
Got a taillight out? Our expert technicians will replace it for you. At Headshots. What a stupid name for a Carpots place.
It's not that great for a restaurant either.
There's a restaurant called Headshots? I'd go there.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, we're just a short amount of time away from Halloweeny. And as I've mentioned on this program so many times, it is one of my least favorite holidays because I don't freaking understand it. We're not honoring anybody. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I understand the kids dress up and they walk around and they do that all over the world and they collect candy, but I don't understand why I celebrate it. I hate candy. Candy is my nemesis. I don't care whether you have diabetes or not. Candy isn't good. It's sugar, man. Sugar's not good for you, no matter how you slice it. No matter how you slice the sugar, it's bad for you. So we have a holiday where kids go around collecting sugar. It gives a new spin to going to your neighbor's house and saying, can I borrow a cup of sugar? This is like, can I borrow a bag of candy sugar from your neighbors? I don't want my child walking around begging for candy. It's like, oh, we do have enough money to buy him candy. Well, then why is he begging at our house for it? I know. It's embarrassing. And then they dress up in costumes. Oh, my God. It's the only way to get people to wear a mask is to do Halloween. It's the only way. It's crazy, man. I don't like it. And it's a super spreader event. I don't get it at all. And then you have people coming to your door and you don't know who they are. I mean, my God, it could be anybody. And some of them are dressed like they're going to kill you. I mean, you have murderers and monsters and zombies coming to your front door. Who opens the door for that? You know, put on some nice clothes and look respectable, and they might give you a piece of candy or a slice of a meatloaf, you know, but don't come up to my door dressed like some type of a serial killer. And then the girls, I mean, we're trying to get rid of this image of girls being publicly sexy, and you take your 12-year-old, your 10-year-old daughter, and you dress her like some type of sexy nurse. I mean, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Halloween is full of sexy costumes for women. It's like, well, these are children, my friend. What the hell are you doing here? I know. Some of the kids that came to my door there in previous years, they were collecting food in pillowcases. I mean, I don't. Is that so you can go home and go right to bed and start eating the stuff in your bed? You're collecting it in pillowcases? Does your family not have enough money to buy a plastic container of something that you can, like maybe a tote bag, you know, from a public television auction donation or something? I mean, something? A pillowcase? Excuse me? Why don't you collect candy in your panties or your underpants? I mean, what the hell is the difference? Well, Ron, if they did that, then the candy would fall through the leg holes. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry to bring that up. You're right. That makes no sense. We'll use a pillowcase. I mean, come on. What are you, a hobo? Now, you're probably saying, Ron, this is a children's holiday. Why are you demeaning it like this? It's what I do. What do you expect? Seriously. And I mentioned this last week. I mean, Halloween is just ripe for children to watch scary, horrible things. I mean, children get scared by things, dark rooms and things in the closet and under the bed, and yet you have a holiday that scares the crap out of children. I mean, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Holiday is it's a pumpkin. What we do is we take a nice piece of vegetable, a squash. We carve out the insides and we throw that away. That, by the way, is the part you're supposed to eat. And then we carve it out, and then in the skin, in the outer shell of the pumpkin, we create a scary face, and then we put a candle inside. Well, have you ever put a candle inside of a vegetable or a fruit? Doesn't smell too good. But that's what we do on Halloween. We carve out a pumpkin. I don't know how that started. I don't know why we're not using green peppers. I guess because a candle wouldn't fit. Maybe we should be using watermelons. I don't know. But that's our signature decoration is a vegetable. I don't understand this holiday. I don't get it. What do we put all over our front door to scare the kids? Spider webs and cobwebs. You know, I don't care for those. I don't care. That means you have somewhat of a termite problem, and you should call somebody instead of decorating your front bushes with spider webs. It's just, well, look at his house. They need an exterminator. Look, there's cobwebs and spider webs all over their house and their bushes. Ew, don't go near that house. We'll send the kids up to get the candy, but that's about it. Wow, what's going on with that holiday? Do you know how many times I'm sitting on the couch, I'm watching TV or doing something like that or having sex, whatever the case may be, doorbell rings like 20 times. It's like, oh, come on, will you please stop it? You are annoying me. Stop ringing my doorbell. That's invasive. That's worse than getting phone calls from marketers in your house while you're trying to eat dinner. It's the same thing, or worse. People coming to my door and I don't know who they are. Even if I know who they are, they're disguised. I don't know who they are. So Halloween is not my favorite holiday at all. No, it really, it's kind of dangerous. The leaves are falling off the trees. Cars are driving around on wet roads. It's dangerous. I mean, I wouldn't want my child walking the streets as cars are going up and down the streets. I mean, some of these places have no sidewalks. I really don't understand it. And what about the poor children? Like, you don't know who lives in that house. That could be a serial killer who happens to live in your neighborhood. We don't know. Check your registry as well. You might be sending your kid up to the house of a child molester. They're registered. You can find out. All right, I think I've gone far enough with this Halloween bit. Have a nice Halloween with the kids. Enjoy. Okay. My guest joins us now. As you know, I'm a lover of education. I really do love education. I don't remember a damn thing that I learned in school, to be honest with you. Not a thing. I really don't. I remember nothing at all. I'm sure some information seeped into me in middle school and high school. I don't know what information did seep in because I don't know what I used in the future after school, but I know it was not as consequential as they made it out to be originally. So, yeah, I know. But one thing I really wanted to be was a pharmacist. Yeah, I wanted to, yeah, when I was younger, well, I wanted to do television and radio, and I ended up doing that, and that's wonderful and fine, thank you very much. But I also wanted to be a pharmacist because I wanted to hand out drugs legally. I thought, well, you know, there's so many people doing it illegally. What if I actually had a license to do this? I thought pharmacist, because people walk up to you. Some people love their pharmacists more than they do their doctors. I mean, they're really nice people. You know, they really seem to care. My son is a chief of staff for the American Pharmacists Association. And Dr. Knowlton is chairman and CEO of Taboola Rasa Healthcare. Did I pronounce that properly?
Yeah, we usually say Taboola, but that's fine.
Okay. any way it works is good. Okay. We're talking about new medication safety education campaign that both of you are involved in. What does that entail?
Well, this is the October is the American Pharmacists Month, and so we're happy to partner with the American Pharmacists Association regarding the safe use of medication. And what it really entails is bringing to light the notion of adverse drug events, which are harms caused by medication at normal doses. Mm-hmm. Usually they're mixed together, medications that are mixed together. And it's kind of a pandemic elephant in the room, if you will, particularly with seniors. Seniors on seven or more meds have an 82% chance of an adverse drug event.
Yes.
And most seniors take five or more prescription meds, and then they're taking over-the-counter meds. So it's a real problem. It has been over the last decade the third or fourth leading cause of death in the United States, and yet we don't talk about it. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to talk about the safe use of medication.
Okay. Let's talk about for a second. All doctors know what their patients are on because they prescribe things for them at the pharmacy. But when an individual takes something, buys something over the counter, that's not reported to the physician because it's considered just to be a small little pickup there to take care of a quick problem. But what you're saying is if your doctor doesn't know about it or your pharmacist doesn't know what meds you're on specifically, there could be interactions that may not be pleasant.
Correct. And so these are some of the things that you need to speak to your pharmacist about.
Yes.
It's important that your pharmacist know pretty much everything that you're on. What else you're taking, You should even be asking your pharmacist how to take a medication, even if you've taken that medication for a long time. And in many cases, and as taboo a subject as this is, even illicit substances need to be known so that we know what to tell you in terms of an adverse drug event.
Yeah.
And I think, Dr. Science, the other thing is, too, that you, it's a good point you make, but you know, a lot of people go to, particularly older people, go to multiple physicians, multiple prescribers, and multiple pharmacies.
True.
And like you said, they don't know they're over the counters, and you need one pharmacist somewhere that can be your quarterback.
Interesting. I mean, a lot of people do the cannabis thing and do the just the normal stuff there that you get to THC, whatever. I don't even know what it's called. I don't do that. But we don't know how that interacts with various medications, and it's never discussed and it's never revealed, not even to your physician sometimes.
Well, actually, we do know, pharmacists know, because it goes through the same pathway to get metabolized as many other drugs.
Really?
It's based on your genes, of course, and it can be very disruptive. We've seen people that are ingesting cannabis, particularly when they take it orally, and are on a drug like warfarin, Coumadin, and bleed out the ears.
Wow.
So it does have certain drug interactions. It's a drug. It's a foreign subject to the body, foreign object to the body.
Wow.
And it affects with other drugs.
I know from experience that pharmacists, every time I pick up a prescription for anything, they always say, "Do you have any questions about it?" Those are the prescription drugs. But I never thought about asking anybody about something that I can buy over the counter to relieve something quickly. It's amazing. For example, if you take aspirin, when you just had a cut or maybe a small little procedure, I mean, that can be a bleeding problem and a healing problem that can be extreme, but nobody really thinks about that.
Correct. And so your pharmacist is best positioned to be able to help you with all of those issues. They can perform drug-drug interaction screenings, drug-food interaction screenings, even tell you when the drug's going to interact with existing disease states.
Right.
And they, as Dr. Knowlton said eloquently, you have to have a pharmacist that can be the quarterback for all of these different types of pharmacy needs that you might have from different pharmacies, from different physicians, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's the number one way to avoid adverse drug events.
One of the worst drugs, I don't want to pick on somebody, but one of the worst drugs that's over the counter is Benadryl, diphenhydramine.
Really?
And, oh my gosh, it causes sedation, it causes dryness, it's a very strong drug interaction problem with OxyContin and other drugs, and it is embedded in just about every sleeping pill, except for the melatonin ones.
Right.
It's embedded, so people don't even know they're taking diphenhydramine, and it's a terrible drug for drug interaction. Absolutely, absolutely terrible.
That's incredible, because, I mean, after surgery, for example, people itch like crazy, and they eat Benadryl like it's candy, because the only thing that's going to resolve the itching. But that could be an extreme problem, I guess, if it's not reported.
We've had so many people that are on, after surgery, on Percocet, you know, for pain.
Yes.
Which is OxyContin.
Like everybody.
OxyContin and Tylenol.
Yeah, it's everybody.
And they take Percocet four times a day, and it works during the day. Yep. And all of a sudden they come in and say, "It's not working at night."
Yeah.
I said, "Well, what else are you taking?" "Well, I'm trying to sleep. I take Tylenol PM." I said, "Well, the Benadryl in there is not allowing the OxyContin to get activated.
Wow.
So stop taking it or take melatonin."
Wow.
Yeah, people don't realize how dangerous some of these over-the-counters are.
My God. What I'll say in a very positive manner is that pharmacists are wonderful people, and they are so approachable and so helpful. Sometimes I think they're more approachable and more helpful than actual medical doctors. I said that, you didn't. But they are they're extremely helpful, and they're just wonderful people, and it's actually, they make it very easy to have a conversation very quickly.
I think the other thing that we were trying to get across is in this safe use of medication is approach your pharmacist.
Yeah.
I mean, they're busy, but approach them and say, "I'd like to talk to you for 5 minutes."
Yeah.
And let them know everything you're taking. Just be honest with them and tell them it all. And that gives them so much more power to help you.
Yeah.
And Ron, this is why we went to school. We went to school to know everything about medications. Mm. We can tell you what will go well together, how to make it work the best.
I guess the best lesson here is the definition of over-the-counter isn't that it's harmless or it doesn't really interact with anything. But that's what they make it seem like on the TVs. Okay.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Where can we get more information about this?
Well, we have a website. It's med-safety.org. And I would really strongly suggest that we both would strongly suggest that folks go there and check it out.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. This has been very valuable. If anybody is, you know, has seniors in their family or knows anybody or you've come out of surgery or just something like that, or you're taking something different, even temporarily, what they're saying is you think twice about this. Thank you so much. Okay, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. Thank you so much for your endurance. This is like running a marathon, huh? Go and do what you needed to do anyway before you got caught up in this program. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you very much. I don't have any rebate checks to send you. There are no contests going on. I don't need to corral you by dangling prize money in front of your face. You're too smart for that. You know you're never going to win anyway. They're all fixed. So why dangle like that? I try to keep it real, man. Have yourselves a wonderful day. And as always, oh, please, I wish you peace. You take care. Careful now. Careful. Stay aware. Stay awake. Use your eyes in the back of your head. Uh-huh. Bald people can see better because the eyes in the back of their head are not covered by hair. Does that make sense to you?